right down the street from the Capitol, where we will hear Governor Whitmer's State of the State address tonight. We're looking forward to that. Built in 1872, it's seen a few addresses over the years. But I'm Glenn Stevens, Executive Director of Mishawda, and with me is my co-host next to me, Terry.
Hi, I'm Terry Radigan. Welcome to the show today. We are honored to be filling in for the legendary, the Hall of Fame voice, Paul W. Smith. And as he likes to say, we have the team here. And that includes Ray Templin, who's here physically with us in Lansing, as well as, speaking of legendary, Ann Thomas is producing our show today. We've got Link Bessert. And, of course, back at the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building, Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, and Rich Lazinski. So we're really excited to be here. And, Glenn, I think we should kick it off with a very exciting first guest.
And we'll do that. We don't want to keep this guy waiting because he does our reviews.
Exactly.
So that's important. So we want to bring on Sandy Barua, the president and CEO of the Detroit Regional Chamber. Sandy, can you hear us? How are you?
We are really good. How are you, Terry and Glenn? Good to be on the show. I hear you guys tied up Paul W., and he's sitting in the back room someplace.
Yes, he is. And keeping Paul quiet is not an easy thing to do either. So,
usually that's only something Ann is able to pull off.
Ann can
do
that, right. Right.
Yeah, Ann can
do anything. We're so glad you could make a few minutes and kick the show off today. But we want to get right to it, Sandy, and ask you probably the number one question. You lead one of the largest chambers of commerce in the country, and would really love to hear your thoughts on what you're hoping to hear from the governor in the State of the State address this evening.
Well, Governor Whitmer has a really fine line that she needs to walk in her last 2 years. You know, obviously, she now has half of the legislature controlled by the other party. And, of course, we have President Trump back in the White House. And so she needs to find a way to be effective, working, you know, in a very bipartisan way. And obviously working, you know, with the Trump administration is different. It's interesting. I mean, they have a different kind of mode of operation than, well, any other president that we've had. So how she navigates things like, you know, the federal budget cuts and personnel cuts, how that is going to impact the state budget, because a lot of those cuts just might flow down and increase the costs for state government. Second is obviously the roads. Governor Whitmer has said, you know, fix the damn roads more times than I've changed socks, right? So she really needs to find a way to do that without raising taxes, including the corporate income tax.
Terry?
Sandy, the auto industry at such a pivotal point in our history, what do you think Michigan needs to do? Sorry, okay, yeah. Sandy, the auto industry is at a pivotal point in its history. What do you think we need to do to maintain Michigan's automotive and mobility leadership?
Yeah, you know, Terry, I mean, you've forgotten more about, you know, the auto industry and how OEMs and tier ones work than Glenn and I put together, right? But, you know, as the three of us know really well, neither political party has gotten the mobility industry right. Neither political party, either frankly at the state or national level, have really understood what it's going to take to make Michigan, particularly Michigan's automotive and mobility sector, work. I mean, the Biden administration was way too kind of Pollyannish around, you know, everyone's going to be buzzing around in EVs in the next 10 minutes. And we just knew that wasn't going to happen. You know, the Trump administration is so, anti-EV. It's a real problem, because if the global market is going to go more and more EV, not 100%, but, you know, if we have 40-50% EV penetration in the industrialized world in the next 15 to 20 years, we want our companies, Ford, GM, Stellantis, our other companies that are so, you know, critical to Michigan's economy, like Toyota, to be really big players in that. So we can't ignore the market, but we can't force people to buy what they don't buy. And no one has gotten that elixir correct.
So, Sandy, kind of picking up on that, I saw you speak at the Detroit Policy Conference, and you said we need to lead, not lag, talking about electrification. You know, what would you want to communicate, whether it's to a policymaker or even a citizen of Michigan, about EVs and Michigan's role or potential role in it?
Yeah, no, it's and people need to, you know, be clear when they're talking to their elected officials. I don't care if they're members of Congress or legislators in Lansing, and say, listen, you know, I don't want to be forced to buy anything I don't want to buy, but I also, you know, believe that our company should be prepared to compete globally, maybe not tomorrow, but, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. So I need you, Mr. and Mrs. Legislator, to, you know, to be thinking ahead and not just be reacting in the moment.
Yes, and I think that's a key point that we tend to in Michigan over the past kind of ignore the inflection point or want to get through it without the change that's coming, and I think you sum that up real well, so thank you. Terry?
Sandy, I think our interview is about 6 minutes into it so far, and we haven't mentioned tariffs, so it's time to talk about tariffs. You know, one of the Detroit region's biggest assets is the international supply chain that serves this automotive industry. So given all the discussion on tariffs with Canada and Mexico, what do you wish more people understood about our supply chain and its importance to our region?
Well, the good news is, and Terry, you and Glenn and I mean, as you know, our organization does a lot of polling, and Michiganders get it. They understand the importance of our relationship with Canada. They understand that a tariff is a tax. A tariff is a tax paid for by the companies and the end consumers. And at a time now when, you know, Americans and Michiganders have been so concerned about the cost of things, justifiably, I mean, just look at the price of eggs these days, adding an additional $3,000 to the price of a car is not going to help Michigan's economy. It's not going to help Michigan workers. If we want to sell, you know, Grand Cherokees and Ford Explorers, you know, adding another $3,000 that adds no value to the consumer is not helpful, right? And, you know, that's just going to push our companies that frankly make larger vehicles, a little bit more expensive vehicles. It's going to push consumers away from those vehicles into cheaper imported vehicles from places like South Korea.
Yeah, so Sandy, we're wrapping up here this segment. I got to ask you one question because I hear you talk about vehicles all the time. What's the car you would wish you could drive right now if you could put it in your garage?
You know, Terry and I have talked about this, but Terry's former firm, GM, has the new Cadillac Vistiq that is coming out. I think it's going to be available, Terry, you correct me, I think this summer. It's a three-row full EV with about 320 miles. Currently, I have a plug-in Aviator, so it would be a replacement for a plug-in going full EV, so I can join my wife in the whole EV parade.
That's the plan, then. We've got to get you on, Terry. You've got connections.
I
so
do.
Thanks, Sandy. Thanks for joining us. And we're going to get to commercial, and when we come back, we'll have Jen Flood, the state budget director from the state of Michigan. Thanks, Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy.
Take care.